Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good evening, and thank you for joining us tonight on LA Talk Radio, Empowered Communication Radio Show with Dr. Pat Allen. My name is Sue Wagner, Dr. Pat Allen's daughter, and the director of Dr. Pat Allen Wan Institute. We are so fortunate to have Dr. Pat and staff Sue Wagner and Kelly Ward available tonight to answer your relationship questions. The call-in number for the show is 323-203-0815. When you call the number, Sam at the switchboard sees your number and will call you back to be connected to the show. Please make sure you pick up the call back and enter the number in your phone contact list to avoid going to spam. Before we take your questions, I want to tell you about our sponsor, the Wan Institute. The Wan Institute currently provides facilitators that offer monthly ladies groups that will educate you with techniques for how to begin, build, and maintain lasting, loving relationships. The facilitators will introduce you to basic communication skills using the techniques of WANT training as developed by Dr. Pat Allen. If you want more information regarding the monthly ladies groups and other services, please email me at info@drpatallen.com or call the office at 949-723-0338. You can also check out our website, www.drpatallen.com. Tonight we have Kelly Ward and Dr. Pat on the show. Kelly, go ahead and take the show away.
Hey, Dr. Pat. Hey, everybody out there. Dr. Pat, how are you tonight?
Just fine.
Fantastic.
I got your letter about aging.
Nope, not from me. But listen, Dr. Pat, I have a question about life scripts.
What is your script?
Okay, Dr. Pat, I want to know how it is that life scripts work and what information you are able to find out when you do a life script.
You were able to find out what?
What information you find out. What does the life script help the person find?
The person gets to find out what the parents want out of their child or children. And here is what they want. Depends on their lifestyle. Are you from a family of hedonists or a family of Stoics? That means, were you raised by your parents to be perfect, try harder, hurry up, please others, and be strong? Or were you raised in a Stoic family where you were accepted as excellent, knew what was enough, work easy, please yourself, and be open? So were you raised basically to go for money and sex, or were you trained to be physically, mentally, emotionally satisfied with your life if you were loved and shared love with the people in the family? So which were you, hedonistic or were you Stoic?
Stoic.
Okay.
Stoic.
And were you raised, if your father walked in the door, would he asked you, how did you do today, or how did you feel about what you did today?
My dad was a feel. He would have asked me how I felt. And then after that, he would have explored my feelings. In other words, if I said I didn't feel good about what happened, he would want to know how I didn't feel good and what he could do to help me feel better.
Very good. And did you do it?
Yes.
And so is your life running like a Stoic or like a hedonist?
Oh, very Stoic.
Okay. So what I do and what people in transactional analysis, which is what I do, I evaluate words. Beware of your words. Beware of your thoughts. They become your habits. Beware of your habits. They become your character. And then your character must decide if you want to be a hedonist, and that's very masculine. And if you're a woman, it's hard to be a man in a woman's body because your feelings keep interfering with your actions. And then if you have a brother and he's raised by your mother, did you ever have a brother?
No, all sisters.
All sisters, okay. Were they all stoics or were they all?
No. No, my younger sister's a hedonist.
Okay, and is she a rich hedonist, happy as a clam?
No, she is an addictive personality.
Okay, so what you're saying is she took the training from the family. And there's a wonderful book out there, and it's called People Who Live Their Lives by Claude Steiner's book. And the title of the book is
Scripts People Live.
Scripts People Live. So you were raised to be a girl in a girl's body, but your sister, this one, was raised to be a man in a girl's body. And there are men, in fact, there's a movie out there now called Barbie. And Barbie is a movie now done in order to demonstrate what happens when you're scripted to be a girl and feel good, but you're a boy. And you're a boy that's scripted brain-wise to do good, to feel good. And yet your mother raised you to feel good, so you're backwards. We call that ego and stock androgynous. So when you know what your script is because you're listening to the training, and you're a stoic, you're going to be a balanced person.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're raised to not live by your natural goal, you're going to have problems and you're going to pay your life to some therapist who can maybe help you decide to get back. And that's what the Institute does. We help people become who they were meant to be in nature.
Awesome. So when somebody wants a script appointment with you, what happens?
What happens when?
When somebody asks to have a script appointment with you, what is the process?
You mean if you are raised by your script?
No, I mean when you do someone's script. What happens when you do someone's script?
Okay, when they come in and get read as human beings that want to be what they were meant to be, what happens is you become a stoic, and that goal is physical, mental, and emotional satisfaction. You caring about me and me feeling good about you caring us. And what that does is it helps your body produce dopamine, happy, and you live longer. If you aren't raised to be what your sex body is, your body pays. You end up producing cortisol. And cortisol strips your nerves, ruins your T cells for immune disease, and gives you a bad time, which kills your body stress-wise.
Mm-hmm.
So I was trained by a group called Transactional Analysis in 1972. Eric Byrne, he wrote a book, and it was called Intuition, and that is what he discovered about men. If they're not raised to be do good, to feel good by their mothers, the guys become daughters and trouble happens. If you're raised by your dad and you're a girl and he raised you to be a boy, some therapist is going to really have a job unwinding you.
Yeah, that's for sure.
If you want to know what and who you are, please feel free to read Scripts People Live by Claude Steiner.
And people can sign up to do a live script with you, and when they do, they get a questionnaire, don't they?
Yes, they do, so that it basically fits up with, like, how do they treat you compared to your brother and sister? And the book will tell you what the messages tell the reader, which is the therapist or the transactional analyst. I'm certified.
That's interesting. Now, Dr. Pat, would you say, let's say, for example, two biological parents have three different children, each of those children being 4 to 5 years apart. The parents that raised child one are not the same parents that raised child two or child three, are they? Biologically, they are, but emotionally and spiritually, would you say that because the parents may have growth, that they're not the same parents? The firstborn to the secondborn?
That's exactly right. I want you to understand that transactional analysis is a destiny designer. And you've got to have somebody that knows what they're doing, and that's what TA does. So with that in mind, feel free to get on the newspaper list with Sue when you call up the station and ask for the newsletter to be sent to you, and you pick out what you want to see or hear or do.
Well, I'll tell you what, I want to tell everybody that Dr. Pat does live scripts. It's an amazing experience. I have got to experience live scripting with Dr. Pat on 4 occasions. Each time I learn something new about myself and about how I was raised and who had influence over my life and who I became as a person. And it was a very integral part of rewriting my own script for who I was and who I wanted to be. So I highly recommend it. I want you all to reach out to Sue at info@drpatallen.com or the number that she gave earlier tonight to reach out to her for an appointment for a live script. It is a life-changing experience, and Dr. Pat is brilliant at reading them.
And if you want to become more stoic, here are the 4 steps you've got to do. Do you want to hear them?
Sure.
You've got to be in a group of Stoics. You have to be with the Stoics. You can take on hedonists never. They are driven by power. They can do any kind of game that can break you. So please.
Yes.
The second thing is, my work, Androgynous Semantic Realignment, that's my doctoral work. Androgynous means every man has a soul, but it's feminine, the anima. And every woman has a masculine soul, and it's called the animus. And Carl Jung's wife wrote a book, Anima, Animus, if you want to read about what that is. But if you don't know that you're a girl or a boy, you are going to make a mess. The fourth step is avoid or placate. I call it acquiescing. Avoid hedonists. Don't try to convert them. You can't do it. They're too powerful. They can lie. They can cheat. They can steal. They're raised. You know what the goal?
What is the goal? Oh, my goodness. Wow, we got a lot of excellent information tonight, and I think we've lost Dr. Pat. But
yeah, if you want a life script, you can reach me at info@drpatallen.com or 949-723-0338. Dr. Allen does them via Zoom.
Hello.
Oh.
Hello. Go ahead, Sue.
You can have it done via Zoom on Fridays. Anytime after 12. I think she's still on, but she probably can't hear us. Yeah. Yeah. Go ahead, Pat. We're already, if you're there, we've already got information. Yeah.
Was it okay enough?
Yeah, we're good. We'll see you next week.
Pardon?
I said thank you. We're going to have you back next week, okay?
Okay.
All right. Thank you, Dr. Pat. We love you.
Love you, too.
Bye-bye.
Okay, we have a call-in number, 323-203-0815. Kelly and I can answer any of your questions. If you have some relationship, please feel free to call. Do you have any topics you want to talk about, Kelly? What's going on? I know that you work with Dr. Allen and her ladies groups.
Yeah, I do. And I have a good time doing it. And the ladies are making progress. Lots of ladies getting married and having babies and doing all those kinds of things that the female energy does. And, you know, I just have recently had a question from one of the ladies that I work with.
Okay.
And her question was, her mate has put off the wedding date 4 times. She's got the ring. And
yeah.
She's had the ring and she's heading into year 3. She's starting to feel very uncomfortable because she'd like to have children. And I gave her some advice, but I'd love to see what you would think.
Who put off the wedding?
He did.
Okay, and what was his reasons?
His reason is that he doesn't feel financially stable enough.
Okay, well, what I would say is she needs to tell herself in her own mind how much she's willing to wait. Let's say she's already waited 3 years. Okay, let's say he just told her this today. After waiting 3 years and she's on her time thing, then she needs to just say, you know, thank you for sharing. I'll take this into consideration. And she needs to, usually it's like every 3 months. And then after 3 months, she brings it to his awareness. And that's using the stroke and stand. Honey, I have something I want to talk to you about regarding our wedding date. Is this a good time? And then she strokes him. You know, I really appreciate that we're planning to be married and we're trying to set up a final wedding date. Then she makes her stand. However, I'm uncomfortable with the time lapsing. I'd feel more comfortable if we set a definite wedding date. If not, I'm not comfortable waiting more than 3 more months. What do you think about finalizing a wedding date? She needs to have a boundary on how long she's willing to wait and see what he says. And then let's say he says, okay, we'll do it in 3 months and you work out that date and you set out, you know, that by then I hope you send out your wedding invitation. So it is kind of concrete. Is that what you kind of told her?
I did. And one of the other things that she shared with me that I thought was interesting was she doesn't want to continue to wait because she just had her 32nd birthday and she would like to have at least 2 children and she doesn't want to have them when she's getting close to 40.
But she needs to make, everything is negotiable. If she just suddenly bails out and listens to him cancel but doesn't try to renegotiate it, that's poor communication.
Oh, totally, 100%. And she feels like she has used the tools to communicate with him, but every time she's at the point right now where she feels like he makes agreements, but he doesn't keep
them. Well, but I don't hear her saying that she's going to wait until and give a definite date. She's being evasive. She's not giving him her last final date that she'll wait.
Yeah, I agree with you. And yeah. I told her she had to quit drawing lines in the sand, which just fill in. And she had to make a hard line rule.
Like saying, if I don't get a date by August 31st, I'm going to have to give you your ring back and move on. That's called a boundary. Not keep going, when will you, not begging, more or less.
Yeah, I guess the truth of the matter is that they jointly talk and set the date. And then when it starts to get like within, you know, the time frame where you have to really start planning a wedding and paying for deposits, that's when he locks up and freaks out.
Well,
so it does seem like there may be a financial element there.
Well, then guess what? If it's a financial deal breaker on his end, maybe she needs to approach him because I understand he's got a financial worry and she wants a wedding. Well, there's 2 incompatibilities. She may have to have a cheaper wedding to negotiate to accommodate his wants, to accommodate her wants.
Yeah, I agree. And here's the thing. Weddings can be really, really expensive.
Yes.
And so are children. So if you want to do both in a very short time frame, maybe you go with a little bit more reasonably priced wedding, because the price tag weddings, they get out of hand. I don't know if you've dealt with weddings before, but I have with wedding planning, and it's like, okay, I want this, 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 and this. And I'm like, you're just racking up those numbers. And then at the end of the day, it is a financial burden. I see his point on that with respect to that.
So she has to honor his point of view on it's financial. He can't afford it. And she may have to compromise. If she wants a wedding, it may have to be doing it his way, which is cheaper.
Yeah.
Or she can leave, accept or reject him. But, that's relationships.
100%. Yep. We're on the same sheet of music, and it is. I mean, I guess every woman, every little girl has this idea of what wedding they want. But, I don't know. You open up one of those brides magazines and you start looking at price tags on dresses and you're going that's like a down payment on a house.
Well, number one, when you're going to get engaged, they need to negotiate how much you're going to spend. Just like Dr. Allen's, when you're getting to be a couple. Oh, we have a caller here. Caller, you're on the air with Kelly and Sue. Do you have a question for us?
Yes. Hi, Kelly. Hi, Sue. This is the lady with the
Wilbur. Yes.
Hi. So, we did not have a good ending.
Uh-oh.
Okay. So, this happened maybe 4 weeks ago, 5 weeks ago.
Yeah, when there was another lady in the picture.
Well, I didn't find out that there was a lady in the picture, but, it was getting to a point. He was calling regularly, once a week, and then I was seeing him once a month.
Oh.
And so I did the, I have something sensitive I'd like to talk with you about. Is now a good time or later? And he said, no, go ahead. And so I told him that, he has a right to date who he wants and to date how he wants. But what he's giving me, I don't like or want what he's giving me. And I told him, so I said like those things. And then I said, what do you think? What are your thoughts? And he's like, well, I didn't really think we were going to get into this. And I said, okay. And then he said, I need time to think about what you've said before I answer. I want to be, want to make sure that I'm not saying the wrong thing. So I said, okay.
Uh-huh.
And we got off the phone. So a week later, I had surgery. And so even before my surgery, I was just thinking, you know, this is not feeling good to me. It doesn't feel good. He's pulling away. I'm allowing him to, but now I'm not even seeing him on a regular basis. I should see him every weekend.
Mm-hmm.
So so then I needed a ride from the hospital. I called. He didn't respond. And I didn't leave. I just left a message, but I didn't say what it was in reference to. So I'm not upset about that. But he did call the next day, and I asked him about, I can't remember how it went down, well, how I initiated it. But I said, I'd like to talk with you about how I'm feeling. So he was like, okay. So I said that he didn't, that I feel a certain way about him, but it doesn't seem like he feels the same way about me. And that, I know how to start. I thanked him for introducing me to his family and that they were kind and very welcoming to me. And he's like, yeah. And so then I said, you know, I feel like you don't feel the same way about me that I feel about you. What are your thoughts? And so he was silent and he said, well, I don't want to get married and I don't want a relationship. And I said, okay, thank you. I understand. I'm not angry at anything. And he said, I know you're not angry. I said, but I need you to stop calling me unless you change your mind. And he said, okay. I said, okay. And I wished him well. And that was the end of it.
Okay. Are you okay with that?
I am.
Okay.
I am. I was sad, but I was, but I couldn't go on any longer because it was to a point where when he would call, I was hoping he would ask me out and he never would.
Okay.
He was just checking in, so to speak.
Yeah. This is the thing that Dr. Allen says, duty date, when you date 3 men at the same time so that you don't over-focus on one and expect that one to commit, because you're just to be circular dating until one of them comes to you and says, I want to be in a relationship with you. And then you get to decide the best man.
Mm-hmm. Right. And the thing is, I've been trying to do that. I'm 62.
Yeah.
And, you know, this is one of the things that I really don't hear people really talking about is dating a woman dating in her 60s. Now, I'm not overweight. I wear makeup. I look feminine, I think. Men look
where
at
do
me.
You,
even
where do you go? Where do you go find men?
I've gone online. I've hired a dating matchmaking company.
Okay.
I go out. I flirt. But I've decided to do a couple of things differently. And this is to be more, you know, to do the flirting technique Dr. Allen has in her book.
Yes.
But that doesn't really do anything. I mean, they look, they may acknowledge, but nobody comes over. I go out alone. Nobody comes over to say hello.
What you might not know, are you approachable? Because you might think you're approachable, but the energy you're sending off might be, don't approach me. See, it's a mindset. Energy is vibration. You can't see it.
Right. And I mean, I don't know. I guess I'm not, because nobody's doing it. So I guess that is it.
Yeah. When you go out, you just go out like you're going out to have fun with no expectations. See, when you say I go out, nobody approaches me, you're expecting a result. So a lot of times they sense that. And you may be giving off a vibe that you're need, you know how they say, you know, neediness, or you're trying too hard. So sometimes the best time to meet people is when you least expect it. when you're not looking for it. Just go out and smile at people in the grocery store.
Well, see, this is the thing. I'm doing that. I am doing that. When I go out, before I say it, I'm thinking, do you go out looking for people to come up to you? No, I don't. I don't. Well, I smile at everybody.
How did you get this last man to, how did you meet him?
I knew him for 25 years. He was my friend. His wife died.
Do you go to church?
Yes.
Did the church have mixers? Because there's a lot of church. Do you go to, there's things called, they call them speed dating and mixers. You have to Google them in your area. And they usually have them for like older people too. Because they know older people.
Okay, I haven't thought about them.
Yeah, because I just watched on ours. They have it where they have an older crowd over 50 where they do mixers. And there's certain crowds. Some they do between 30 and 45 and some are from 45 to 60 and they have different age groups.
Okay.
Do you have a retirement, kind of like a retirement community, a young active retirement community around you?
Not really, no. But I can find it.
Mm-hmm. Google and see, because a lot of times those people have activities and you can go on and be incorporated.
Okay.
They do like trips and stuff. And even if you're out of the community, they're open to the public.
Yeah.
And you have to get into the same kind of an age group. Age group. So if you're over 62, like I'm 67 and I'm in a retirement and they have tons of stuff. And I bring my girlfriends to the dances and they meet guys.
Okay, so that's what's missing is that.
Yeah, you have to get into the group and you just have to, find out. I have one girlfriend. Yeah, she goes to the dances with me. I'm in a relationship, but she's now in that group and she meets the guys via me through a retirement type community.
Okay. Thank you for that. Thank you.
Yeah. It's something to start. I mean, that you can try it.
Mm-hmm.
And then they also have singles, little travel excursions. You just have to Google. A lot of, you'd be surprised. Community centers have a lot of singles, elderly events.
Yes. Okay.
You also might try places that offer to learn how to do ballroom dancing.
Oh, yeah.
And also...
Yeah.
Go where the men are. Here's an example. A friend of mine in California, he has this thing that he does with, it's called coffee and cars. So every weekend he goes out there, he sets up a coffee stand and everybody brings their cool cars, the cars they fixed up, the old cars they fixed up. Well, I got to tell you, it's predominantly males. So any girls that show up there looking at these hot cars, they get a lot of attention because it's 90% men. So if you want to find men, you got to go where the men are.
That's a good idea. And you got to just Google where you think men would be. A lot of golf places, you might want to go to a golf course and take a couple lessons so you can be around the men. And because they all want to help women.
Right. Okay. Well, I'm going to listen to the recording and, do these because I'm at a loss right now. I'm at a loss. Yeah.
Yeah, you can't find them unless you find them.
Right. I haven't given up. Just a little discouraged right now, but I haven't given up.
Yeah.
Thank you, a lot of
hang in there.
Hang in there. I'll try and think of stuff. Yeah. Thanks for calling.
Thank you.
Check out some of those and give us an update. See how it goes.
Yes, I will. I will. Okay. Bye-bye.
Yeah. Bye-bye.
That's a hard one. But there's so many.
And I'm getting it from a lot of women. I'm getting that from a lot of women. They don't know where to find men. They don't know where to look for men. And I said, you're not going to find them in a Pilates class, girls. I got news for you. You're just not going to. You got to go where they are. And men don't do Pilates. And,
you know, coffee shops, if you go at a certain time, the older men go in the morning at like between 8 and 9, and they usually bring their books. I was just in the Starbucks. There was like 4 older men with books.
Yeah, well, those guys are trolling for chicks. I'm telling you that.
Well,
right
or
now.
They don't have anybody, and men don't usually run around looking for women. But if one was available, they'll start a conversation because they were talking to me in the line. So,
yeah, my one gal was going to the supermarket, and I said, "When are you going?" And she's like, "Well, in the middle of the afternoon." I said, "What? What are you doing there then?" No, no. You go in the evening when a guy gets off work, and guess what? He doesn't have a shopping basket. He's got one of those little baskets on his arm.
Yeah.
Or he's got a bunch of junk in his right, you know, crook of his elbow.
Yeah.
That's a single guy. You see him. He's buying a steak, not a biggie pack of steaks.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's like you have to look for those cues. And, you know, Dr. Pat talks about body language. But there's more to body language than what he's doing with his arms or his legs. There's what, how is he behaving? Yeah. You know, if he's walking around in the supermarket and he's looking kind of lost, guess what? Probably single.
Yeah.
Doesn't have a list. He's just picking stuff out because he's trying to figure out what he wants to have for dinner.
Yeah.
Don't go to the supermarket looking for men from 8 o'clock in the morning until 5 o'clock at night. Stay out of there. That's not where they're at.
Yeah, you have the moms and the kids and the...
yeah, you're looking ready. For a construction worker, guess what? You're going to be looking at the coffee shop at 6 a.m.
Yeah.
That's when he's getting his coffee on the way to the job site. You just got to think about how men... Yeah. You got to put yourself in there thinking, like, what are men doing? They're getting ready for work. They're going to work. They're doing this. Hopefully, you're going to find somebody who works. And, you know, you just have to look at it that way. And also, too, I think you have to figure out what kind of a man you want. It's like I always say, if you want to go to the Bolshoi Ballet, you're probably not going to find your guy at a bowling alley. However, if you love bowling, how about joining a league?
That's a good idea.
You're going to get a rotation of men from all different leagues.
Yeah, and then if even in the bowling alley, one of those people may know a friend that they can set you up with. So that would work too.
Yeah. You know, there's all kinds of things. Like I said, learn to ballroom dance. You're going to run into somebody who doesn't have a partner and they want to learn to dance or they're going to enjoy dancing. That is a good one to do. You know, you're typically going to meet up with a male partner or a female partner, depending on what your sex is. And you're going to maybe hook up. You both like salsa or you both like to waltz, whatever it is. So then you've got two issues there. You've got somebody who's also looking for that and you have a commonality. You know, commonalities are important. You can have everything in common, but you should at least have, you know, either you love to swim or you like to play golf or you like to bird watch or you love museums. You know, there's some activities you're not going to find a man who works and has a job and is a good catch in the middle of the day at the museum, but you might find him there on a Saturday.
There's meetups. You go on Meetup, just Google Meetup, and they have groups. And these people organize, like hiking. I'm on Meetup for line dancing. And they set up, somebody takes charge and sets up events. And there's a lot of singles that organize these events for singles to meet. So go to, if you're listening, she said she's listening, go Google Meetup and you sign up and you enter your area and what you like. And that's a way to find people as well, like-minded people.
Yeah, I think it's really important. And I know it isn't easy. I'm not saying that it is. And a lot of these ladies get discouraged. They go through this online dating of what I call the pool of liars. And, you know, that's another thing that I talked to them about. And this seems to be a really big issue in the last few months that my girls are like, I can't find anybody. And I'm like, okay, like, let's analyze where you're looking. And they are going on to these, what I call the free sites.
Yes, yes.
And I think that's not only dangerous, but you're going to end up with a caliber of person that's really just looking to hook up. I think somebody who's investing a little bit of money and time into an online profile where, you know, they're really serious. I don't think anybody who isn't serious is going to lay down some capital for that. So if they're on the paid site, there's a better chance of a better caliber of person who's looking for the same thing that you're looking for, a committed long-term relationship. And so they come back to me and they're like, well, I was on Plenty of Fish. And I'm like, on the paid one? Well, no. And I'm like, okay, you want somebody, but you're not willing to invest. That's an investment. That's an investment in you and in your future and in your relationship. And while it may seem kind of unromantic, well, online dating is unromantic. If you want to meet somebody and you want something that's more, how can I say this, more, I don't know. You go out and meet somebody in person, that's different. You know, no, you're not outlaying capital for that, but you're maybe buying yourself a coffee or a tea. That's an investment if you're out at a coffee shop, or maybe you're bowling a few games, or maybe you do go to the museum. You're paying money for all that. So,
and you're practicing meeting people. A lot of it's practice. If you keep thinking there's nobody out there, you know, you go, I get it. You go out with 50 guys. It may take you 300, but you have to have the attitude that I'm going to keep going, because whatever attitude, there are no men out there, that's what you're going to get.
Well, and I tease my ladies. I go, how many outfits do you take into the dressing room? When you go shopping, how many outfits? Well, 5 or 6. I go, oh, you're willing to trade. You're willing to change into 5 or 6 outfits, but you're not willing to try on 5 or 6 people. I mean, back in the olden days, that's what dating was. You were trying on people to see if they fit, just like an outfit or a pair of shoes. So, and they were like, that seems so slutty. And I'm like, well, you know, I didn't tell you to, you know, get down and dirty with them. I said, go on a date with them. You know, a date is a date. Like, you go to dinner or a movie, or, you know, you go out and have a cup of coffee. It's not like you're jumping into bed with them. Like, it's not cheating, because you're not committed. You don't have a committed relationship. You're testing the waters. That's, I mean,
true. Yeah.
And the other thing too, is I tell them, I said, you are fishing, like, you know, the plenty of fish thing, like there's plenty of fish in the sea, but you are fishing. But if you keep throwing your line in to the same spot and you're not getting any bites, here's an idea. Move to a different spot.
That's true. Yeah.
And they get this attitude like they're a tree, like they've got these roots and they can't move. And I'm like, no, try different things. Like, here's an example right now. The county fair was just recently in town where I live. And guess what? There are a lot of people from out of town. There are a lot of cowboys from out of the county, different counties. You know, they were rodeo riders and bull riders and very masculine men. And my ladies are like, I'm on a masculine man. And I'm like, well, you're not going to find him like doing Pilates. Like, got to go where they are. So, yeah, I had two of the ladies here locally. They went to the fair. They went to see the bull riders. And then afterwards, they ended up talking to like 10 or 15 different men. And I was like, see, you got to present.
You got to get out there. Yeah.
And that's another thing, too. You can't consider yourself out there if you're sitting in the coffee shop with your face in the phone. Like, I admonish my ladies, lock your phone in your car or leave it in your handbag. Do not bring your phone out while you're at Starbucks or Nan's coffee bar or wherever you're at, because it's a turnoff. It says, don't approach me.
Yes.
I'm busy.
Yeah. I usually tell my ladies to go into a restaurant or a bar, you know, or a coffee shop and look around like you're waiting for somebody, because people will always come up and go, oh, are you looking for somebody? And that starts the conversation. You just want to draw them over to get the conversation started. Then you can say, oh, my friend was going to meet and I don't know, you know, if she's going to show up. And then he may say, well, I'm here, I'll talk to you. And it starts it off. I know a lot of people do it that way.
I love that. One of the other things my one lady does, she came up with this and I thought it was cute as heck. Anytime she would see a man at a restaurant, like, then the waiter would come up to her table and she'd say, what did he order? And then they'd tell him, the waiter would tell her what the guy ordered that she had an interest in. And so, like, when she would know what his food was. So when it was going by, she would like look at it, and then she would say, oh, that looks delicious. How is it? Maybe I'll order that next time. It would always strike up a conversation.
Oh, that's a good one. Yeah.
If he's, that's
within the distance, yeah.
Yeah, because like that's because men like to help. So if you is that delicious? I might want to try it next time. And
that's
That's a really good opener because she's just dropping a hanky.
Mm-hmm.
And some of my ladies get really, really hard about dropping the hanky. They're like, I don't know how to do that. And I'm like, okay. You know, you ask for help. Could you tell me where the restroom is? Or, ooh, that cocktail looks delicious. What are you drinking? And like, you know, what do you recommend from here? I've never been here before. It's my first time.
Yes. That's a good, those are all good drop the hankies. Yeah,
but they don't get it. And, you know, a lot of that masculine energy, especially when a woman goes out alone, she starts to edge into that masculine energy because she is alone. But if she can do that, like hold on to it and just like ask a question instead of just like, you know, stepping into it, just be like, oh, wow, you know, I've never been here. Like, I just went to dinner the other night at a place called Fujiyama. It's a Japanese steakhouse where you sit at a table with a bunch of strangers. And they, you know, like Benihana, they have the chef there. And, you know, he's doing all this fancy stuff, making your food. So, you know, I ended up talking with everybody at the table. There were 8 people I didn't know. And, you know, these people from in town from Michigan visiting, and this one was a school teacher. You know, I wasn't flirting. I was just inquiring because I was sitting at a table with a bunch of strangers. But, you know, I ended up talking to everybody and it was really fun. And so if you find a place like that, one of those restaurants with like the hibachi cooking and you go in alone, they're going to set you at a table with a bunch of strangers.
Yeah.
So that's fun. But I find this, I'm finding a lot. My ladies are coming back to me probably in the last 3 months. I've had like 10 or 12 ladies say to me, I don't know where to look. I don't know what to do. I cannot find anybody.
Yeah. So Kelly and I are offering ladies groups. Dr. Ellen has ladies groups, but unfortunately her ladies stay in the group. So there's never any openings. So me and Kelly have opened up our groups. We have more groups starting in September, different times. This is exactly what we help the ladies with. We teach you how to find men, and when you get them, how to communicate from your feminine energy, and hopefully how to duty date, where you're dating 3 men so you're not over-focused on one. And then we work you through, because your past, you may have been working on what's familiar. Well, if it hasn't worked by now, you might want to change it up. So we help you find different techniques to change your dating style to get the man you want. And these groups are, if you want to send me an email at info@drpatallen.com, I can put you on the list for either Kelly or myself. We have different times available. And they're reasonably priced. Just send me and I'll be happy to give you information. Kelly, do you have any? We're coming to the end of the show. Do you have anything else you want to say to the audience?
Yeah, I just want everyone to know that the groups are really fun. They're really informative. You make a connection with other women. And sometimes I've had it in one of my groups where 2 of the women, one had a brother and one had a best friend that neither one of them obviously wanted to date their brother or their best friend. They were able to hook up other ladies in the group with the one woman's brother and the one woman's best buddy. So you just never know who you're going to meet out there, even if you just, you know, and that's another thing too that I didn't touch on, which I'd love to, that when you do go out, you may think you're presenting, but you really have to make eye contact. That eye contact is so important.
And maybe sometimes they may think that they're being approachable, but they, in reality, they're not. That's a hard one to pick out.
Yeah, putting up those walls a little bit and they don't really realize it. But yeah, so I'm really encouraged. Yeah. I hope everybody will reach out if they feel like they want some some help finding somebody. You know, maybe we can give you a hand. And that's really all I have to say tonight. I hope everybody does feeling great. We love y'all.
And we'll see you next week. Thank you. Bye.
Bye, everybody.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.